Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I've got Bing on the brain. I was looking at Bing and David Bowie right before the show started. That's somebody talked about
the amazing film clip where no one makes eye contact with anybody. So awkward. So
hey,
awkward.
How you doing? I'm David Bowie. I'm Bing Crosby. Let's sing a song. Hey, how you doing? I'm the poor relative from America. Come, they told me. Peace on earth. Anyway,
it's
I don't know. Maybe that means I'm easing into the holiday.
Do you have
spirit.
The holiday spirit?
Not really.
No. No.
Oh,
will
no.
you? Do you think
no.
you get it this year at all?
I'm feeling perky based on my kid, you know, running around and stuff
he
like
is
that. But
truly
nothing
at the best age for Christmas.
No, there's a lot of work to be done for the holiday, so mm-hmm. I'm really not completely ready for that. But once that's over, I'll probably slide on into it a little bit. No, it's neat. I like being down here. I like the fact that I'm not going anywhere. That is probably the best thing.
Melikimaka is the thing to say.
Are you doing like kind of a Polynesian thing?
Yeah, because it's a tropical Christmas.
Warm.
Yeah. Or we could do another song.
Rob's in it. Dude, can you tell that he's in the
holiday
spirit?
He loves the holidays.
Best time of year.
Someone should. Can't just walk around grumpy all week.
Are you one, like you?
I am grumpy.
He is.
Yeah, I'm post-op, Mike. I'm post-op.
Yeah.
He's just out of triage.
Oscar is just out of a medical procedure, and it is such a relief to actually deal with someone else's medical maladies on the show. Oscar gave me crap for golfing 2 minutes into the pre-show discussion today. I hadn't even said hello to him.
That's the anesthetic talking.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't have any heartburn medicine because I have a machine attached to me that says you can't take any. Yeah. It's inside my body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get right to it.
Yes.
Let's do it. I mean, we'll get the mailbag. It's your mailbag today. It's Tuesday. We have your letters standing by. They're in my hot little hand right mm-hmm. now. I hope I got all of them, Rob.
It's a small one. It's 4 pages this week.
Four pages. I just wanted to make sure that was accurate. Let's get right to it. So Oscar mentioned yesterday that, or the day before, that he was going to have
last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah, I've been talking about this for weeks.
I'm sorry I didn't call you to tell you. And by the way, you did a whole show where you probably talked about it, and I wasn't there.
No, I don't think that's probably what it was. I just mentioned it between
you shows. Haven't talked a lot about it.
Well,
we haven't been
done. Because I don't need to say me.
We have a tape, Mike. We have a tape.
You mean like I do? Is that what that is? like I do? Me, the world of me? Let me tell you something, pal. Without the world of me, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
The world of him is kind of the show. We have a tape of the bonus show of Oscar discussing his procedure.
Because I was not there.
Yeah, we have the endoscopy.
Then you have corroborated what he just denied.
Here is the tape.
You have corroborated. There it is.
Yeah, that's Oscar.
I did not talk about
discussion.
It on the bonus.
No, I was only fooling.
Yeah. Would I be safe in assuming we have not taken a segment and dedicated it to your holes in your stomach?
No, off air,
right?
We talked about it as a team, but on air, we hadn't.
Can you see my hands? The position that when I get into these arguments with Oscar, this is how I talk to him.
Looks
like
you're describing Dolly Parton.
Let me see if I did. So, Oscar.
Yes.
The fact is,
the very fact of the matter,
we've never spent a long period of time recently speaking about your medical malady, correct?
Not on the air. Off air, yes. We talked about it.
Well, but the only talk about it was you were going to get an endoscopy.
Yeah, but I talked about going under and having a kid.
No, you know what? I didn't know you were having a general until yesterday.
You didn't know?
No.
Maybe it's Pony.
Having a procedure
Pony
because you sent me an email saying don't schedule anything for Monday afternoon.
Yes.
But
I should be very accurate, though, when we talk about off-air discussions. You know, for example, let's give an example of how much time I spend in studio after the show is over.
Oh,
okay?
But you spend so much longer than you used to.
Yes, it is more.
Because I'm here.
Yeah, because you're already home.
Well, no,
it's true, though.
It's true. But I have places to go.
True,
I have
and things to do.
Appointments to go to and, mm-hmm. You know, doing things
meetings.
Like that and tea times.
That's what I was trying to be a little kind by calling those meetings.
About it. Meetings.
Meetings.
You know
meetings
what I want for
green.
Christmas? Would you like to know what I want for Christmas?
What?
An extra 20 yards off the tee.
Oh.
Santa. How's that for a white privilege?
Santa. Make
hey, son. Just give me your love and an extra 20 yards off the tee. Bub, 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 boo, Nathaniel.
I wish I could hit that ball the way I hit Gary. Put on your sunglasses, right. Son. People are going to ask some questions.
All I know is that when we came into the studio today, Oscar had a medical device in his hand.
Yes.
Would you like to share it? Share it with
I actually have a medical device in me, as there is a Bravo pill sewed into my esophagus measuring the pH level for the next 3 days. And I have to carry this big pager with me, so when I have heartburn, like I do right now, I got to push a button.
Where's the? Can we see the scar?
In?
Yeah. There's no scar. They put it in through your esophagus.
Oh, they put it in. Yes. Like, oh, they just jam it down your throat.
And they sew it in? Do they stitch it in?
Yeah, and then it falls off in 2 days, and then it goes.
Oh, so it disintegrates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I bet you it doesn't come out the way it goes in.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, it takes a journey.
How? Exit only.
Well, tell us about the procedure. How horrible was it?
It wasn't horrible. It was. I don't get scared going to the hospital. I actually.
What
it's,
hospital?
It's calming. Georgetown.
Oh, that's a good outfit.
Did
I was
they knock
there.
You out? Did they knock
yeah.
you out?
Yeah. Felt the best nap in the world. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah. See, I don't mind the anesthesia. Yeah.
Did you count backwards from 100?
No.
How did they do it?
They just said, he was just having small talk, and I woke up, and it was over.
Oh.
It was amazing. You know,
his butt was bleeding.
When I had, well, you just stole my joke. Okay. All right. So you're in that mode. You're in holiday mode. I better be prepared for every joke I have to be headed off at the pass today.
We can pretend it didn't happen.
Here's my joke. My joke, Rob, was going to be, you know how I knew the last surgery I had that I was going under? I felt a finger in my that's what I was going. That
well,
was going to be
different.
My joke.
Yeah,
I know.
It's different.
But you went right for the butt.
Colonoscopy.
You know, don't ever race Rob Spiewak to the obvious joke. He will always win. Always. He is undefeated.
I am just making up for the fact that I've never won any other race in my life.
I will say, though, there was a complication, which most people would run.
That's funny. I'm sorry. That's really funny. That's not an obvious joke, and that's very funny. I'm sorry. I've never won another race.
So we're friends again?
Might be the best.
Huh? We're friends again.
We're always friends, even when I hate on you. You know that.
So,
tell that to some of your mobbers that send me those emails.
Yeah, shut anyway, up, guys. Shut up, gang.
You.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, essentially, this is a cartoon-sized pager.
Yeah, it looks like it's really the size of a Walkman.
I actually asked them if there was an app for this, because this is embarrassing on many levels for any modern medicine.
What are you doing with your camera?
It's called a Bravo.
Yeah.
And I have to push it when I eat. I have to push it when I have heartburn. I have to push it when I have to cough.
Hold on. Are we having an earthquake down south, Mike? What is going on?
No, but don't pull a mic. Let him fix his camera while we talk.
Well, he said, uh-oh.
No, he's fixing something.
All right.
All right? ADD. ADD radio.
Well, no, I want him to be focused because he needs to know about the Bravo.
This falls into the category. Now people are going to send me letters about interrupting Oscar because I had a problem with the camera.
I just can't tell my story, people.
Hey, you can call us at 888-920-MORE.
I'm just going to leave it here. The square is when I'm annoyed with my coworkers.
No.
And then the bed is when I want to kill myself.
Yeah, what's the reading now?
The reading's heartburn. There we go. Push that button. Heartburn.
All right.
Now it's over.
Go ahead.
I
want to know what's happening.
I'll take my story elsewhere.
No, I want your story and I want it now.
Hey, there is a pill in my body.
No, there's not. There's a monitor in your body.
No, there is. It's called a Bravo pill. It looks the size of a pill that's in my esophagus right now on the wall of my esophagus to measure the pH level.
What do they do? Glue it?
From what I understand is they attach it to your esophagus.
They use those 3M tapes.
I guess
that you just pull. For
it's the one that doesn't ruin the wall or your esophagus.
And what is the thing attached to your esophagus doing now?
It is talking to the pager, measuring the pH level of how much acidity is going into my esophagus.
And what do they hope to? What information
to find
do they
out
hope
if
to get?
I am a candidate for surgery or not?
To fix your acid stomach?
Yes. Essentially, I've got a manhole that's slightly ajar, and they got to figure out if they got to get a new manhole to cover up the hole.
So you're producing too much stomach acid?
Yes, which has caused GERD for decades.
Can you feel the pill?
20% of people can feel the pill.
Okay.
I'm part of that 20%.
Oh, so you can feel it.
Let me ask this. So how bad is it for you? Is this your number one health concern?
Yeah, because if you have this type of acidity, it can lead to all types of stomach cancers. It's a big issue. You got to make sure you take care of it.
So how uncomfortable do you get with this?
I get a The most pain I ever feel is when I have some pizza or something with some sauce in it that it'll murder me, right?
Yeah, wow. Pizza's bad for a lot of people.
I would say the reason why I'm in as good a shape as
Stop.
He just wants to make a joke. 2 seconds. I just want to give you all the details, and then you can do all the puns and jokes you want, all right?
Thank you. I'm listening.
Probably the reason why I'm in okay shape and not in horrible shape is because when I eat certain foods, it murders my chest. So I stay away from them as much as I can.
Which is kind of a natural thing to do.
Be like, oh, well, I don't want to be in pain tonight.
Sure.
That being said, Jack and Diet's do the same thing, and I plow through those.
Oh, booze is the worst, right?
Yeah.
I mean, booze is up there with pizza and anything with high acid content. Are there any other trigger foods besides? I know pizza. I remember that because I've had acid
heartburn,
nothing bad. But it also seems to murder me.
Tomato-based, yeah.
Anything tomato-based. Anything red, like a red Gatorade will get me.
It's angry.
It's always color with him.
when you sleep, if you were to eat white bread with nothing on it, just a piece of white toast, yes. And you went to sleep, do you get acid reflux every night?
I'll get it regardless, but I'll get it to the level that I won't actually get sleep if it's like Domino's pizza at 10:30.
Can I ask a specific question? Because with ulcerative colitis, which I now control basically with diet, as funny as that may sound, I know my triggers, so I don't have to take medication for it
anymore.
Doesn't
sound funny to... First of all, millions of Americans deal with digestive issues, and it doesn't sound funny to anybody who's ever dealt with that, because if you have good doctors, most of them will be able to direct you in such
and
a way
if you're proactive,
that you don't eat things that are problems.
Yeah. You can learn about it. I've been wanting to go to the doctor to get this done for the past... I would say in earnest,
right.
5 years.
My two main triggers
hadn't made a priority.
And I believe that what we suffer is similar. Yours is upper and mine is lower.
Yes.
Tomato reductions, like sauces. I can eat fresh tomatoes and that's fine. But like if you cook tomatoes down into a sauce, that's when it
and
gets
some
me.
Of the best foods are reduced.
All of it. But here,
not fat.
But the worst one for me is peanut butter. And that's what I miss.
Man.
I can't.
You know what?
I can't eat peanut butter.
I think peanut butter is, and I recently, only recently,
because
I really
because
avoid
of the peanuts right?
Oh. Nuts, everything. I really avoid that, but I will tell you that I think that peanut butter, you don't think, especially if it's like creamy peanut butter, you're like, all the gribblies, all the the graininess of the peanuts have been taken out. It's irrelevant. Peanuts are a very bad thing for people with digestive issues.
Yeah, I think they inject extra oils into the peanut butter.
The peanuts don't give me heartburn though.
Okay,
no,
so you're
peanuts
okay
probably
with,
don't.
They don't give me heartburn.
But what about peanut butter? Do you have trouble with it?
A PB&J is my go-to. That's what Shannon makes me for lunch.
Give me the long and short of what you're hoping to get diagnosed where.
My esophagus.
Yes, do you want to be a candidate for this procedure?
Mike, I've always said if the part's broken, fix it, right?
I agree
so
with you.
Yeah. Get
I
feel, in there well, and fix it. Yeah.
I'm living proof of that.
Yes.
You deal with the situation.
But if I'm not and they said I just got to change my diet, I'll change my diet. That's fine.
And you know what?
Can I talk for 2 seconds, please?
I was going to comment what you were saying.
You don't have to. I can just continue talking for 2 more minutes and you'll be okay. So I will say that if they say you got to change your diet, that's fine. All I was worried about is getting some sort of esophageal cancer. That's all I was worried about. I was like, we'll just turn into something horrific that'll get you and it's over, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I went, this thing falls off my body. My esophagus is off house arrest in, I would say, 48 hours. And then I go return this back to the hospital and it's over.
Are you supposed to eat normally?
Eat normally. I'm not on any of the meds that keep the pain down, so my irritability is probably at an all-time high.
What about, you know, it is, tomorrow is... tomorrow is a rather significant party day.
Yeah, and the following day as well.
4 p.m. 4 p.m. I drop it off at the
By the way, we're not doing the Feed the 5,000 thing this year.
Oh, no.
Why not?
No,
what
not,
happened?
The pastor took a leave of absence. We haven't been to church in 2 days. We missed the sign up. We have no idea. It's a mess. It's depressing. It's kind of a drag. And they say, hey, well, why didn't you do it anyway? Well, because we didn't go where we would normally have signed up.
Right.
And when I went in 3 days ago, it was all booked up to when we went on the website.
It. We called it. We went down there.
I don't know what
that
it is.
That guy was
Oscar.
So
Shut
casual.
Up.
He
Shut
was
up.
So casual.
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. I don't know.
I know
what's
you
going
can
on.
No longer sign up to deliver meals, but is it possible even at this last minute to sign up to have a meal brought to you?
you.
All right, more Harper. Yeah. Let me push the button.
All right, good.
Oh, are you getting heartburn right now?
Well, because I'm laughing and enjoying myself, and that's
do
why.
Do you have to record it yourself?
Yes.
So you have to press a button when you get heartburn?
Yeah. I kid you not.
Oh, and then it'll balance against what the pill is telling the machine.
Yes. I'm like a dog. Mm-hmm. Every time I do anything, I have to push it.
Is that giving you medicine right now?
No, it's not giving me medicine.
It's just monitoring just what's happening.
Also, know this. They had a mix-up before I went into the OR or whatever, wherever they do that procedure. And I was literally about to get scoped. And they're like, you got the Bravo, right? And then, which is the pill that they're going to, a specialist has to come and do the pill separately.
Right.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this is not on his chart. And the surgeon who was in there, well, like you could tell, you know how you get really mad when something obvious is supposed to happen?
Yeah, these are high energy
high
guys.
High stakes. He's like, everybody outside. And then I'm sitting there, boop, 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 like what's happening? And you hear him, rah, 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 rah. And, and he comes back in. And he's
hello,
like,
hello, Mr. Spires.
He goes,
we'll be with you in a moment.
Somebody screwed up his support staff.
I had to wait 2 hours cooling my heels until they got everything coordinated. They were apologizing in like buck naked in the little waiting room.
Bring in Nurse McIntosh right away.
So your ass is hanging out of a hospital gown and they're coming in and apologizing to
and
you.
And rolling me out of the room. They were about to do the procedure. I'm telling you, anybody else would have aborted, but I said, I have no other time to do this. I will wait
so
on your clock.
Did you control the idea that you had to have the procedure done that day?
There was an innate flight response. Like, if they got this wrong, you gotta go, right?
You see him running down Reservoir Boulevard with a hospital gown.
I mean, that is
hanging out.
It's uneasy, right? It is literally
it's uneasy when they like forget
they
the device they're putting in
your mouth.
They want
and they're
you,
like,
you want
this
it
is,
to be right.
This is to protect your teeth. And the guy walks in. He's like, "Hello, my doctor that I've seen before to set this up." He goes and he barks out the orders and like, "Doctor," and they're like, "There's no Bravo on his chart, which is the pill they're going to put inside me that a specialist has to do."
Right.
And they're like, and he's like, everybody outside.
So explain that. I want to know what happened. So you go in there. They're prepping you.
I got everything in me. I'm good to
go. What is missing? The whole unit? The pill and the monitor?
The doctor and the pill and the monitor. The specialist that does, I guess, the pill separately from just the scoping. A second
and
doctor.
And so you were going to have two doctors in there,
yes.
And the other doctor was AWOL.
He wasn't AWOL. They didn't schedule him for this procedure because whoever scheduled didn't see the chart that said this guy's getting a Bravo as well. Because he said, I don't want you to have to come in just for the Bravo and go through this again because they'd have to put me under again.
So they were doing a little more than just putting that unit in. They were going to do an endoscopy and check out your whole esophagus.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
But
it's
literally for 2 hours, I sat there and I was like, I mean, I'm not gonna go crazy. A lot of apologies. Got a $10 lunch credit, which was nice. And then I got
worth it.
And then I got free parking. And then I did the math and I was
all
like,
you can eat pizza.
I did the math. I was like, that was 3 hours of my time that wasn't scheduled for this. That's roughly $28 for 3 hours. I was like, I think they should apologize on a higher level next time.
You
like,
you're parking.
You just need a set of snake dives. And lots going on the Mike O'Mara show.
Yeah.
Anyway, would you like to hear about me moving, or would you like to hear about the fact that I spent time in a portrait studio over the weekend?
Well, I think I've got to go portrait studio.
Portrait studios. You don't care if I'm uprooting my family and moving to another domicile?
Moving would probably make more sense because then that means more work for us.
No, it's interesting the way his brain works.
No, because think of him seated in front of a bookcase backdrop.
I wasn't in the picture.
Oh, you weren't? Well, then I want to hear about the move.
Mrs. O'Mara decided that Sunday at 10:50 is your first clue that it might be problematic. Not 10:30, not 10 o'clock, not 11 o'clock, 10:50. Which would mean that they break them up into 10-minute or 20-minute sessions would be the optimal time. 10:50 Sunday morning would be the optimal time to have a portrait of my son done for Christmas.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that. Now, in the morning, I got a text from one of my buddies, Skip, that says, you want to roll out early afternoon and knock out 9. I said, yeah. I said, I got some family stuff to do till noon, thinking that 10:50 till noon would be perfectly okay. I said, but how about 1 o'clock? Gives me a tremendous window. And we arrive at the at the portrait studio. And we arrive, and there are
when you say portrait studio, is that in quotation marks?
It is a
marks?
Building in a strip mall with two cubicles with backdrops.
I thought you guys went to Bass Pro Shop.
No, that's for Santa.
That's for Santa. That's not for,
oh.
Hello.
Come on, get your head out of
I don't
your
know
ass.
What a portrait is. I've never had one. I don't know what you're
a
talking
picture.
About.
Picture. It's a picture. You've never, you have a,
like glamour shots?
You've had headshots done before. Have you never?
Yeah,
shots?
He has.
Yeah, but I didn't call them portraits.
It's called a portrait studio.
How about your kids getting
they
a headshot?
Portrait.
No.
Headshot.
Well, he's not. Because he's not auditioning is... to be in Hamilton. That's it's like a school picture. Okay.
Yeah. Come on, you mook.
I
We're
can
trying
play
to tell
tennis?
The story.
I'm just asking.
It's like a portrait studio. It's a chain in a strip mall, and that's where my little guy's going to get his picture
like
taken.
Family like family pictures
or
like
Olin
a,
Mills.
Like a family.
Olin
picture.
Mills. I know Olin Mills.
Carla got it. It's like Olin. It's exactly like mm-hmm. Olin.
I know that.
That's what it is. Okay. Carla gets a coupon, the aforementioned coupon on honey.
Yes.
And she says, let's go to the portrait studio.
The Spiewak did a family thing at Olin Mills before my dad split.
Okay. All right. So you've got one?
Yeah, many years ago.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I'll try
before
to find
my
your
dad
copy of it.
Split.
Little Mike was going to say the same thing, but your dad didn't go to another family. He went to heaven.
Went to another
did
land.
You, did you look happy in the? Did everybody look happy in the picture?
Yeah, we faked it pretty good.
All right, so
my mom
we get
looked
in there.
Sad.
She did.
No, not really. Come
Sharon
on.
Was depressed.
HBS, like, I'm going to pay depressing. For this. And I'm going to get out of here.
It's a hit the road, Jack.
So if you're planning on doing the same thing, a lot of families want to do like Christmas card.
Yeah.
Everybody wears the same flannel shirt. You know, it's just super cute.
Yeah. Yes.
And so people want to get them done. If you want to go through the same kind of hell that Pony went through on the side of MacArthur Boulevard, go to a portrait studio at right around 11 o'clock on a Sunday.
Mm.
And
right know, before the holidays.
Yeah. And so... I don't want to diss the people that were working there, but let me just say the word scattered might apply.
Mm,
the
really?
Word frantic might apply. There are two photographers there. So I believe two. There are two photographers. Everybody all right back there? Was yeah. that the yeah. little
Maddie's
hat? Maddie's got TB.
Maddie, you all right?
All
right,
just very
turn away from the microphone.
Okay?
So,
yes.
There are two photographers, and there are, let me see, when last I checked, about 304 families in there waiting to get their portraits.
Because
and
they all have their coupons.
Yeah, they're all in there, and they're getting their pictures done, and we're having costume changes. We have a 12-year-old or a 13- or a 14-year-old getting her Christmas card for some reason, and when it got to the 40-minute mark, where they were sitting in front of their little monitor, I looked over at Carla. I said, you know how long they've been there? She said, okay, don't do this. Don't do this. I said, our appointment was 10:50. And I assumed 10:50 would be, it's so specific a time that would be the time we were
because
seen.
They're scheduling. Yeah, I mean, it's, you said something very valid that merits restating. Right. If it was sort of a vague window, they would say 10:30.
No,
11 10:50, o'clock. But 10:50 says specific.
Yeah, and let me tell you why it's specific. For them. So they can sardine all these rubes into a room
big
to
portrait.
Get screwed and for one picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's one picture at the end of the day. If you want more, you got to pay for it, right?
That's
but if
right.
you want to get the coupon rate, the like $42 rate, for one picture, which I could take
with a coupon?
Well, no, you get a lot of other stuff. I
okay,
don't.
Good.
Let's not go into that yet.
Right.
The point is, time is something. I don't mind waiting if I'm told what's going on. And then, so that, wait, I'm going to take this on two fronts, all right?
Please.
I don't mind waiting if you're communicating with me. If you come to me and say, we got slammed and we overscheduled, if you can be understanding, we're going to see you within this time frame. If you do that, I'm done. I have it in my mind what's happening,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you do that, I'm not going to worry about it. Then if you don't do that, then I go to my incremental rule, all right? Do you want to know what my incremental rule is? 10 minutes is an understandable delay
okay.
if you've got a specific appointment time. I think it applies to a doctor's office. It should. A lawyer's office. Anything. 15 minutes. You're starting to become problematic and you're a little obnoxious.
Yep.
At 20 minutes, it's bad. If you're making someone wait for 20 minutes in a restaurant, they're walking out of your restaurant.
Right.
I think the same should apply to everything. If you get me to the half hour mark, you're saying a big F you to me and you shouldn't have my business. Okay. Well,
agreed.
We went to the 35 minute mark. all right, with this. And I was sitting there going, I'm pissed because not because of just the wait. It's Sunday. I got nothing going on outside of a tea time. But the fact is, but at the same point, it was an extra like 9 holes. It was extra. So it's not a priority.
Bonus.
My priority
bonus
is
goal.
Getting my kids picked. But the fact is, with these scattered people running around this place, not communicating, and everybody's racing around. We know that in the radio mm-hmm. business as well. You know the people that are inefficient in a radio studio behind the scenes because they're the ones that are waving their arms around and running. That's when you know that things are effed up because people are feigning that frantic nature. And if you just calm down, you'll get it taken care of. So there are 9 families in front of us. We're told on 3 separate occasions, there's 1 family in front of you, which was a lie because there were 2 families in front of us. And then we get, Carla leans over and said, this is the problem. I said, what? She said, the dreaded costume change. Yes, there was a costume change because Mommy Suburbanite did not decided that the little snowflake sweater on her little effing angel was not a sure thing, so she wants to bring in the second costume.
So the studio is not providing costumes.
So 10:50, when it's 10 after 12 noon, and we're wrapping up our procedure after getting my little guy, by the way, who was a trooper and had his 1 picture taken, and I'm just here to say, if you're going to do this, do not do it on a Sunday because
should
I point out we arrived at 10:45?
Well, I think you're early in the season. 5 minutes early. You're not after Thanksgiving dragging your kid to the mall for the picture.
Well, I guess the week of before Thanksgiving must be a busy time for that. But they were, and then the photographer, God bless her. Who, let me see, celebrity she most resembles would be a combination of, let me see if I've got this this straight, a combination of Amy Schumer and Louis Anderson.
Oh.
All right, that would be, I'm sorry.
Fleet of foot.
You know who would have a great eye for photography, I feel, is Chrissy Metz.
Don't you think she'd
be a wonderful picture
this
taker?
This is the thing. The photography would have gone smoother if there wasn't a hair adjustment every single time. It would be take a picture, move the hair. Take a picture, let down the hair. I'm not asking you. Take a picture, put the hair in a ponytail. Take the picture, put the hair in a bun. Take the picture, move the hair out of the eyes. It was insanity. I got out of there.
I'd
lost a part of my holiday soul. This is how they get you. This is how they wear you down.
Yeah.
This is how they wear you down at the end of it. But at the end of the day, he had a beautiful little picture taken.
Oh, cool.
And he, it was, that's the little angel. But it's to me, we've got the technology now. I could get a poster of a pine tree, put it in back of his little ass, and take the picture on my iPhone, and easy peasy.
I have a question.
That would be fine. Yes.
If it was just a picture of him, am I correct?
Yes.
Why did you have to go?
Family support.
And now, Tales of Aviation History with TMOS P1 listener, Captain Joel Rogers.
Well, folks, from the flight deck, this is Captain Joel Rogers. On behalf of all 61 members of your Frankfurt-based flight crew, it's been a pleasure having the 36 of you on board our transatlantic flight today. We've begun our initial descent into the New York area where the weather is scattered clouds and isolated thunderstorms. As a reminder, instead of duty-free shopping on your arrival, why not visit the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center for all your in-flight needs? Target and Walmart have everything for your comfort and onboard snacking. Visit MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner to place an order. Because of the headwinds extending our flight time to 77 hours, the local time is 7:25 p.m. on May 6th, 1937. Let me be the first to welcome you to Manchester Township, New Jersey. We know you have a choice in rigid airship travel, and we thank you for flying the Hindenburg.
Oh, the humanity!
The best of O'Mara.
Great to have Angie. It's been a long time since we've had Angie in studio, and she's gone. Just a go-getter.
Yep.
I mean, amazing, amazing effort, and cutting edge, and wonderful, and it's delightful. Well, this is your third segment. This is what you wanted.
Well, so Mike, that's this is a little birthday treat for you.
Hustled her out of here, and what's that?
This is your birthday treat for your 60th birthday.
All right.
This is a mystery guest.
Okay.
And we will
How are we
have
doing
him,
it?
We will have him enter and sign in. I've already given you a clue. It's a man.
Oh.
He will enter and sign in, and then I will afford you clues. You can jump in at any time.
Is he going to walk in, or is he going to be on the phone?
No, he's on the phone. Mystery guest, are you there?
All right.
Well, good morning, boys and girls, live from Los Angeles and just 2 short blocks away from Television City in Hollywood. Good morning, Oscar. Good morning, Rob. good morning, TMOS audience. And Mike, happy birthday to you. I'm so pleased to be part of this special birthday. The time now in Los Angeles is 6:48, Rob.
I know it is. Thank you very much for availing your schedule to us, mystery guest. Mike, do you have a guess at this point as to who the mystery guest is? All right, please, go.
Patton Oswalt.
Is not Patton Oswalt.
Well, it sounded
nine
almost...
down. That's one down and nine to go.
All right.
Nine to go.
Here is your first clue.
All right.
And you can guess at any time.
Okay.
You have had a career rich with partners.
Yeah.
You've been partnered with me, with Oscar, with Kirk McEwen, Don Geronimo, but this man was perhaps your first partner in entertainment.
My first partner in entertainment. I'm thinking back in terms of
Summerstock.
This is a poll of all polls. If you've done this, is this John? Is this John Burney?
It is John Burney. Yes.
It's John Burney calling from Los Angeles.
Oh my!
Charlie's brother.
Not Charlie.
This is huge.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
This is the man we never have at the reunions. Everybody, this is the human being whose name is on everybody's tongue at our reunions. John, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Rob, just read a couple of these accomplishments because, Mike, I believe the first time you ever received a standing ovation, I was standing next to you.
Yeah, I actually have. He prepared a small list.
That's probably true. Just before you read this, Rob, I have to say, I was up here in Maine and I was talking to someone, I don't know who I was telling the story about Hilton Catterley. And
yes.
How I did that. Did I tell that story on the show?
You've told it on the show before. Yes, absolutely. And that's
where
one of
John,
the moments
and then John wrote, and then John wrote an article in the school newspaper how he, I was doing an impression of the local weatherman, and John arranged, unbeknownst to me, to have him come out behind me while I was doing this impression, and it was this amazing burn. And then John wrote an article about how he burned me. And we hosted Newsline together.
That's
on
awesome.
The high school stage for current events. This is a big person in my
life.
I'm gobsmacked. I am absolutely gobsmacked.
Mike, none of this is on your Wikipedia page, and I think we should make those.
They still got it. I am so, John, I am. Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
I don't believe you ever told us, Mike, incredible. That you played Oscar to his Felix in The Odd Couple.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That.
We did that. We did that. We did.
Gladys Knight in the Pips.
We did a Monty Python sketch where you died like for 15 minutes on stage.
That's right.
Who's on first?
Wow.
Oh, this was it. And John at the Glastonbury High School was our class president as well. And the thing that I remember more than anything is every. Do we do it every Friday? Was that one, or do we do it every day?
The news line. They allowed us to do it every Friday over the intercom.
Yeah, over the intercom. Yeah,
that's right. And it was great fun.
Oh,
but,
wow,
Mike, I've been listening now for over a year, and you tell these stories, and I'm like, gosh, I've got to figure a way to get in here. And reflecting most on your mother, Mary, who I loved, and I know.
Oh, wow.
You know, my parents loved you. You love my parents. This is a great way to say happy birthday, Mike. Thank you.
Oh my God, this is fantastic, John. I'm gonna be the first one to tell you. You have to make it out to. My sister was telling me the other day, talking about the 50th reunion.
Oh God, yeah.
If we all live to see it, Kathy's actually thinking.
I thought we could compare our list of medications later.
This is fantastic. Yeah. It's like you've stepped out of out of history. This is amazing. You sound exactly like you used to sound. You've still got it, my boy. And you're in LA, and you've lived your whole life out in LA, right?
That's right. And Las Vegas is not that far away.
Ooh.
So, oh, please come to Vegas.
Accommodate.
Please,
we can accommodate
please.
Friday
Absolutely.
Or Saturday.
Oh, I would love to see you. It's been ridiculously a long time. And
it has. If we wait another 40 years, we'll both be 100. So let's not
Oh,
do that.
My God. No, I am.
All right.
This is such a huge deal for me, Rob. This is absolutely fantastic.
Happy birthday,
Mike. Everybody talks about... You have to know this. I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, John, but everybody taught your name is mentioned by so many people when we all get together. And the last one was last year, the 40th
That's
anniversary,
right.
the 40th yeah. reunion that we had for GHS. And to be honest with you, Joey Pasker, one of my other best friends, John was my best friend. I had two best friends in high school. This is one of them. Joey was another one. And then everybody else, it's kind of dull, John. It's kind of dull talking to all those people.
This is a perfect moment. So this is really a perfect moment, and it's the best time to do it. You're 50 nothing. You're 60. Happy birthday, and buddy, I hope to see you soon.
Oh, thank you, John.
Sweet.
Thanks
thank
so much.
You, John,
Thanks
sweet.
For calling in. Oh, that's awesome, John
Rob,
Bernie, ladies and gentlemen,
thank you, John.
Class
thank
president.
You,
oh, bravo,
thank you,
bravo.
Stay seated. Stay seated. All right, cheers. I'll watch it on YouTube.
Okay.
Bye.
I'll watch it on YouTube.
Phone away. Oh God, I wish my mom was alive that she'd be able to know that he called.
He had a million great things to say about your entire
this
family.
This is the great elusive dude. This is the man nobody, everybody tried to get. I mean, it's constant. It was like, where's John? Where he was the guy. You can hear this. You know who he sounds like.
Who?
And this whenever I see John Mulaney, the stand-up.
Mulaney.
John has the exact same rhythm. The same rhythm. It's still there. It's still there.
I'll
the
see
way
it
he
on
did.
YouTube.
He
Bye.
Was so yeah,
so great.
He's so savvy still. That's the guy. And by the way, you know, it was a. That's what started me on the whole collaborative.
That's
deal.
Great. That's great.
I'm so blown away by that. That
he
has
sent
made
me a, he sent
my
me a,
day.
A
I don't
vague
need to,
email.
I don't need to open anything now. I'm fine.
He
that's
sent me
great.
A vague call email months ago, and I had to call your sister to make sure he was on the level. Because
oh,
you know,
I have to tell Kathy. Did Kathy know he was
Kathy
come
knew
on?
He was coming on today, yeah.
Oh, my
Because, well,
God.
I mean, I told her 2 months ago. I'm sure it's not top of mind, but she was the one. She was the one that
no,
vetted him.
I was part. His family knew me. My family knew him. We were attached at the hip, and we did all the whole. I remember picking out the music. The show was called Newsline, and we did it every Friday in front of the current at Glastonbury High School. The current events class, which was you read Newsweek every week, and you'd get quizzed on the issues of the day. It's really terrific.
Smart
course for high school kids
yeah.
to make you aware
Engaged.
Of the world.
Yeah, I had a teacher
I think
like
it
that
was
too.
Absolutely. I don't know if they do that nowadays in high school or not, but they should. And they should people. It would make people more literate about what's going on in the world around them. And then we would do the news headlines on the intercom, and it would be in front of the senior class for current events, but it would also be broadcast to the entire high school.
Oh, cool!
And we did that, and we were off to the side, and they. I remember picking out the music. The planets,
Aaron
Gustav
Copeland?
Holst,
oh, Holst. Oh,
yeah, my father's album. And it's like, this is Newsline.
And we
did it all the time. And then he would be, when we would have the non-talent talent show, which is what we had at my high school. And he was the, when he mentioned, the Pips, and I still keep in touch with it. This is so cool. And you want to talk about what gets you going when you get to an advanced stage is reconnecting with somebody from your distant past. There's Richie Coleman, who has reached out to me, so I still maintain contact with him. There's John Bernie, and there's myself, and we were the Pips to Patty, who was this wonderful African-American girl who was Gladys Knight, and she had three white Pips, these suburban white kids that were in back of her, and we wore white tuxedos with the bow ties, and we did the moves when she said, what's it, da-da-da-da. Dun, dun, L.A. too much for the man.
Oh, that's Midnight Train to Georgia. Yeah.
So we did Midnight Train to Georgia. That was one of the things we did. John was like the Johnny Carson who sat up on the set. I was the impressionist, you know. I was in. He duped me, much like all my other radio partners have duped me in the years, you know, and do that. If I sound like I'm blown out of my mind, that's just, that's truly
is this
special.
Your news music, The Planets?
Yeah, but it's yeah, okay, you've got that. It's Mars, the bringer of war.
Okay.
I think. Or no, or Jupiter. It might be Jupiter.
Damn it,
John will like this.
49 minutes of cut here.
Yeah. Do they have the different planets there?
Maybe. Hold on.
Can you go through them?
Let's find them.
Let me see. But so going on with this, it was all of the different
sounds like Venus.
That might be Venus.
All of the different entities that we did, all the performing entities. No, it's but now you're throwing me.
Pluto.
I'm sorry,
but
I will have that.
But it's just that's great. That's that blows me away. That is a legitimate true surprise, and you don't get many of those.
No.
When
time capsule.
So, I loved it.
Wow. All right.
Happiness.
So that's enough of that. Oh, John Burney, God bless you. Love you, and I thank you so much for calling it. God dang it. Oh, wait till I talk to my sister about that. We will take a break. And he's never shown up for a reunion.
This is huge.
For a while, people wondered whether he was alive or dead, for God's sake, you know?
Yeah,
awesome
but,
stuff.
But you get that a lot at the 40th.
Joey, I hope you're listening. Joey, I hope you're listening to this. I hope you're listening to this. This is great. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is Trip Affleck from Austin, Texas.
Say what? Who's the P1 Hall of Fame hustler that all the listeners love? You damn right. The men want to be like him and the women want to get with him. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Damn!
Man, this cat Trip is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I'm just talking about Trip Affleck. When you're ready to make the scene, be like P1 Hall of Famer Trip Affleck and get all the fly gear from the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner, fool.
The best of O'Mara.
That is officially one of the biggest surprises I've ever gotten on any show.
Oh, that's great. I'm so pleased.
If I'm not articulating the history of this, he was the guy in high school.
You said it all when you said class president. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, he was the guy. And with the reunions, you always have a point man where everybody, you know, it can be the guy like this who was, John was a little bit of a guy and just very, you know, very, very waif-like and he was smart and
so
funny.
So like looking in a mirror.
And I was the Ed McMahon to his Johnny.
That's really awesome.
I mean, it was, but he, when we went to a couple, I've been to like three reunions and it's always, where's John? Where's John? Yeah. We don't know. And way back when, one of our first ones, we were really, you know, when it's still fresher,
right?
You're saying, you know, where is he? Well, we haven't been able to get in touch with him. And I was talking about him to different people. What's the deal? Why not? Blah, blah, blah. What's he doing? I think he's in real estate out there. I think that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just, it was constant. And it never really diminished as early as the 40th reunion that we had. And then to have that. And then as soon as you said my first partner, I'm like, you know, think way, way back. And because he did sound a little like Patton.
Yeah, he did.
He's sharp. And oh, God, I remember going into I'm sorry. I'm overwhelmed. I am really, really overwhelmed with that.
I just got a text from him, Mike. He says, please do not give Mike my contact info. So, no, I'll make sure you guys get hooked up today after the show.
Well, I've had a lot of surprises this weekend, and this is awesome. I really do it. And by the way, the only thing I love on my iPhone is the camera, because I think the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. My daughters don't take bad pictures, but that was amazing. And Catherine, if you're listening to my voice, please just see a doctor if you're not feeling well. Catherine is on a 20-day water fast.
Her too.
Mm.
It's.
Wait a
she
second.
Said she's.
When did this start?
I think she's halfway through it.
Oh,
so she
fantastic.
Was.
Jeez.
She was not eating anything, and you know when you come up here for a holiday weekend or birthday weekend, and it's just
celebration.
We're an eating machine, and by the way, you know, and every time I'm sitting there stuffing myself this weekend, I'd look over at at Catherine, and she's like, that looks really nice. So no, Dad, I'm over it. I'm not. I don't have. It doesn't bother me to
one
be in front
ice
of people
cube
who are
with
eating.
Artificial sweetener.
Insane.
Well, the fast really is. I think it's become so trendy now.
Right.
And I'm
ask
not talking
your buddy Todd Moore.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about intermittent fasting. I'm saying fasting. You're right. Fasting mm-hmm. for 7 days. You're fasting 14. I remember when Todd got into it, just like you, all your friends sometimes get into something. You're like, oh, maybe I'll try.
Sure. Right.
It was like a day, a half a day. And I said, this is not going to happen for me.
No.
I'm good with this. I'm going to run or I'll ride the bike. There's no way I can sit here and be miserable.
Is this before or after the bone broth nonsense?
This is during the bone broth nonsense.
This is during the bone broth. Okay.
The bone broth nonsense. You're not able to say nonsense, though, when you're a fat guy like me.
All right, how about this? Let me rephrase it. Strike it from the record, Pony. Was this before or after he found out the excellence of bone broth?
Because he was sustaining himself on bone broth.
That's right.
Now, when you see someone lose 20 pounds in roughly, I would say, 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you become a believer.
Yeah.
But can you
I'm worried about her. I'm worried about it. Stop. It freaks me out. The concept.
It's not usual.
She looked very healthy. It didn't look like she needed to lose
fantastic.
Any weight.
Yeah. Of course she does. She doesn't have circles under her eyes.
No.
And by the way, with the 5 a.m. departures and people coming in at night and traveling and all that, you would think, she was run down. She was definitely a little bit run down. But she looked good. Her skin looked really good. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. And, meanwhile, she goes and drops her sister off at the airport on Sunday morning and comes back with Tim Hortons donuts for me.
That's a good girl. You're on a donut fast.
Goes to the, waits for Tim Hortons to open at 6 o'clock so she can get donuts. I mean, and meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, are there any chocolate? So I'm starting today. Not fasting. I'm just going back to my 1,850 calories, which, by the way, compared to hers, seems like I'm going to a buffet every
like
meal.
Henry VIII.
Well, you were at, I think, almost 7,000 last time we did this game.
Yeah, you know what? Believe me, if you'd added up the calories over the weekend, even my booze, when I talked about that Raging Lobster drink.
Yes.
Oh, a 14,000 calorie drink. Isn't
it's
that wonderful?
It's your birthday weekend, though.
It is birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's birthday season.
Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then,
The Mike Show!
There is a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying and the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? Which means, am I your clown? Oh, am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
No. And, am I your clown? Yeah. Oh my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother is being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't be un payaso. The TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversión. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com, and you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso. The tears of a
clown when there's no one. The best of O'Mara.
Yes, it'd be Santa Claus.
You give me joy even when we're not here. When you texted me last night that Dennis Hoff was doing a great job on the tight wire walk across Times Square.
Did you see it, Rob?
No, I did not see it. I watched
the end of it.
Nick Willenda does, and his sister do a walk across Times Square on the wire for over half an hour.
Wow.
And they cross in the middle. Now, they had safety harnesses, and I texted Rob.
Yes, I was going to mention this.
Really doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because it's a totally different, isn't it horrible? It's a totally different vibe when
it is.
They have safety. But
here's what it sounded like.
You're going to start?
I'm going to get started, okay?
Yep.
Liana, you're ready, babe. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is when they have to cross on the same wire.
Yeah. Don't forget that.
Okay, I'm going to start.
You have plenty of tether.
Is it hot?
I got this. It's the getting up. I got it. I did it 25 times. Oh, this is tight. Hold on.
You're good where you're at.
Hold on.
You don't have to move.
Okay, I'm good. I'm going to get up.
Yep. And you're going to do
Jesus.
It perfectly.
Flawlessly.
You did?
Wow.
I mean, I'd rather a net.
Yeah, or something.
He looks like a thinner version of the late Dennis Hoff.
But not much thinner. That's the weird thing.
Yeah, and they did it. Look, they had the harnesses, but they didn't slip.
No.
One time.
Not at all. Wouldn't you rather a net, like the, though?
I'd rather nothing. The whole deal of a high wire is you're done.
Yeah, but the fall is what gets you. If you have a harness, you're going to fall, I would say, 50 feet?
Well, they
feet?
Also would fall. I think they had a harness for a couple of, who knows why they had the harness, but there are also people like directly below them.
Yeah, and they would have
killed somebody on the ground.
It's a Dick Clark production. The reason they were in harnesses is so they couldn't escape the set.
It was dramatic enough, but they do have that kind of carny vibe.
Oh, it's horrible. Going. Do you remember we watched it at your house in Florida once?
Yeah. And they're sitting there going, thank you, baby Jesus.
In Chicago?
Thank you.
It was making us crazy.
Thank you, baby Jesus. You know, what a friend we have. And then they embrace.
With
and then
Natalie
they
Morales?
Big fat with Natalie Morales, who's no longer there. Who were the? Did you watch it from the beginning, or did you just tune in?
I just tuned in for the end. I think wasn't Strahan one of the hosts?
I think he might have been.
Well, that's good. That's weird because it's hard to get him to do something for ABC. And to catch him between game shows.
Hard to do.
All right,
hard
Mike.
To do.
A strong, and because it's your birthday, I'll call it a 60th birthday salute to our favorite company from now on, Del Monte. Have you ever bought their vegetables?
Oh, sure I have.
Sure.
Years.
Yeah, how about the lady that bought a can of spinach?
Really?
Ah, yeah, and she found in it a dead bird.
I dumped the spinach out into the bowl, and I took a little bite like I usually do before I put the spinach in the microwave.
Sure.
Well, then over here, it was kind of lumped up, so I went to break it up with my fingers, and I picked up a bird. They carry all kinds of stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, and I just ate a bite of that. I thought I was going to vomit. Boy. They offered me a $10 check. For my troubles, and I was like, no thank you. They should have a health inspector check them out. I mean, that's a pretty major thing to find something like that. It sticks with you.
$10.
Are we Americans though? We're Americans, aren't we? With our pop legalese, you know?
Yeah,
that's a bad thing. They ought to have, like, you know, a health inspector or something like that. I took a bite out of it.
I went in there. I went in that spinach and found a bird.
It was a big old dead bird.
So last night on 60 Minutes, Paul McCartney was on. And I know a lot about the Beatles. I know a lot about Paul McCartney. But he dropped one fact that I did not know. Now, I did know that Abbey Road was originally supposed to be called Everest. That was the original name of that
like
album.
Like Mount Everest.
But I never knew why they all looked so pissed off on the cover of Abbey Road. And he explains it.
We had another title going on that we didn't really like. So I just said, hey, why don't we just call it Abbey Road? And what we could do, we just go right outside, walk across the crossing, it's done. You know, and it was like, yeah. This is outside Abbey Road after we'd made the Abbey Road crossing picture. And I remember talking to John about his taxes. Someone said to me, you better warn him because he doesn't know what's
about
going
taxes.
On.
Taxes. That's why you have this glum look on your face?
That's maybe why he's got the glum look. I've got the I need to talk to you about your taxes look.
Oh, my God.
Because that was the last album they recorded, so they were breaking up at that time, and John was going to have to fend for himself tax-wise.
Was Abbey Road their last album?
It was the last they recorded. Let It Be would be released after, but the last one they recorded
was
Abbey Road.
Why did they break up again?
It was Your Fault.
Oh.
So. No, they were all going different directions.
Wasn't it Yoko's fault?
You know, the more I read about it, the less I think it's Yoko's fault. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Okay. I know it didn't help having her around, but I think that would have happened anyway.
Right. Yoko.
Not great Yoko. When you're a band of four guys and you're setting up in the studio and one of the things you request is a bed so your wife can sleep there. That's not great, but
not cool.
I think it would have happened
that's
anyway.
The problem.
Okay. Mike, you know, you've been hassled by your Walmart greeter, haven't you?
Yeah, and now we tell them to go scratch.
Dateline,
fantastic.
Texas.
They can't do anything.
I don't know. Just food for thought. Dateline, Texas, a Walmart greeter is 72, and he approaches a man, asks for his receipt, sees the receipt, and says, oh, you didn't pay for that case of Gatorade. Okay.
I told him, if you want, you can scan and take it. I never told him you are stealing. He punched on my face with the closed right hand. Then I fell down on the ground. Yes, I'm scared of working at that position. Never happened to me. But I was doing my duty. I was doing what I'm supposed to do.
So, Mike, don't mess with Texas.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't think you... You should not take that Gatorade out of here right now. I am going to make sure that you get your comeuppance, Mr. Man. You're going to go to jail.
And you know the amazing
thing
is? You
can't assault someone, can you?
The amazing
thing. No, I would never hit somebody. I just said, the whole idea is the passive aggression with that. It's like, do you mind if, can I check your receipts? No, you may not. And they literally stop.
They do.
They can do.
Just keep it moving.
They can't. They can do it at Sam's Club. They cannot do it at Walmart. You do not have a contract with them at Walmart.
And
that
you know
is your merchandise. They get their stinking hands off it. Stop it. You're not doing that. You know?
Amazingly, do you know what flavor of Gatorade it was? Fruit punch.
Okay. That's your magic audio ball.
I thought you were gonna say Curry.
Not Curry. How dare you?
No, that's right. Oh my God! I just said, stop it. You're not playing those things. You went to the other soundboard.
Hi, I'm Ina Garten. My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally. It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if you're 10 little piggies or cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey Alexa, play The Mike O'Mara Show, and the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it, and I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caperberry. Now back to my custard.
The best of O'Mara.
We got so many letters this week. We asked for it. You sent them, and we're grateful.
Keep it up.
Had to break it up into two segments here. So this is technically a segment, Louise. Lumpjoy or whatever your name was.
I'm not sure.
Nuttycomb.
Louise Nuttycomb.
Nuttycomb.
Yes.
Nuttycomb.
Be my baby.
Louise Nuttycomb, be my girl. Hey, Mike, Rob, Oscar, and company. I just wanted to say, I love listening to you guys on my commute, or just whenever it really helps. It just helps on long trips. Let me read that sentence again properly.
Okay.
It's not that confusing. I was just all excited coming out of the break.
Nuttycomb.
I just wanted to write in to say, I love listening to you guys on my commute, or just whenever. It really helps on long road trips. I would also appreciate a birthday shout-out from my dad, Rich Chronic. We had a Ronic without the H, but this is Chronic. Rich is a great guy who has kept on slaying the dragon throughout the whole pandemic. Our whole family appreciates him very much. Plus, he's been listening to the show for years and got me turned on to it from a young age. Thanks, Pop. Thank you so much for all you guys do and for continuing to do throughout the pandemic. Keep it up. And good luck to Mike with the trip out west. Richard Chronic.
Chronic.
Oh, so Richard is Rich's son.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's Rich Chronic and Richard.
Yeah, one of them should go by Dick.
Richard, don't hide from your feelings. Hi, guys. I spaced on things and missed the call for the last mailbag. So if you wanted to mention that my very boss birthday happened, and I... Are people writing in some sort of code this week? Is that what's happening
here? What
do
you mean?
I'm just trying to... You know what I mean. I'm reading words that are... I spaced on things. That's the first three. Spaced on what? What is the...
He spaced on writing in about his birthday in the mailbag.
He just sort of blew it. He left his mind.
I missed the call for the last mailbag. So he spaced and didn't send a letter in?
Is that what it is? He didn't send it on time.
All right. So if you wanted to mention that my very boss birthday happened... And I am officially no longer a douchebag. That we raised. So he turned 40.
Yeah, I think so.
Unfortunately, now every part of my body hurts. That's normal, right? No, not at 40. You should not be hurting yet.
Keep moving.
You should be okay.
I stopped moving, and I got a little fatter.
Yeah. How's your back, Oscar? How is your back doing?
It's not good because I got fatter.
All right.
I got to lose weight. You know what it all happened, Mike? I got hit by a taxi in Las Vegas. And ever since then, it's been downhill. But you know what? I'm making my way back. I stepped on the scale. Wait for it. 210. First time I've been 210 steady Eddie in my life. Gonna go back down now.
Well, I speak to somebody every day, every week, I should say, every month. Sorry about that. I modified it three times. And they told me, I said, I've got an idea. Maybe I'll walk with my wife when she's walking. I've done it once in a month.
Baby steps.
I stepped on a scale. It said one at a time, please.
Hey, that's from Kobe Klein. Hi, Kobe.
As we begin
to transition out of the pandemic, many Americans' thoughts turn to the reopening of in-person academics for our children. Although we may have some small challenges yet to deal with, I believe it is so important that our children return. I believe that children are our future.
Yes.
I thought I'd put my own two cents in.
What if we teach them well?
Teach them well and let them learn their way.
Exactly. Lead the way.
Is that the lyric?
Lead the way.
Lead the way. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Sexual chocolate.
Can you turn the music down? The overbearing track that I hate on the I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lose the way.
Lead the way.
Although we may have some small challenges to deal with, I believe it is so important that they return to their classrooms. One thing I do not miss are those horrible chalkboards we all grew up with. With that in mind, could Rob remind everyone of the Clayton Cleverly chalkboard story? Warmest regards from Dan Cortez in Salt Lake City, Utah. Utah's biggest TMOSP one. What is the Clayton Cleverly chalkboard?
I hadn't thought of this in a long time. We had come back from, I believe, like, you know, music or gym or something, where we had to leave the classroom and go to another location. And we were learning weights and measures on the chalkboard. They were up there. And Clayton, like me, was a heavy set kid. Husky is what they used to call us. And on the top of the list, it said 1 ton equals 2,000 pounds. And I got back to the class ahead of the teacher, and I took a piece of chalk and I made it. I put a C and an A, and the one looked like an L. So it said, Clayton equals 2,000 pounds. And so when the teacher began to teach, and she was teaching us the weights and measures, she pointed, she said, Clayton, wait, who did this? And they said, it was Rob, and I got sent to the principal's office.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, and since that, I want to warn that guy, turn your thing down, because this is Quint from Jaws Nails on the Chalkboard. Here we go. Sorry about that. I apologize. Next letter says,
love
last month, I went into Good Samaritan Hospital in Portland, Oregon for colon surgery. You see, I was diagnosed, or it's actually, you see, was diagnosed with colon cancer.
I'll give some money to the kids.
Rob, that's a typo.
Oh, that's 10th spot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
actually, 20. Does Maddie still get it? She's on.
How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
I feel the same amount of remorse as I did when I made fun of Clayton Cleverly. It's bad. It will not.
You don't. That means you don't.
No, right? I do feel. I felt bad. I got
zero.
I went to the principal's office. I tell you what.
I was diagnosed with colon cancer following a colonoscopy in November. I'm sorry to hear that. Due to my 25 years in the medical business, I was assigned to the best gastrosurgeon in Oregon. 5 hours later, I woke up in the OR to the news that my procedure was 100% successful. That's great. And 3 days later, I was up, home, and functioning as if nothing at all had happened. I'm now completely cancer-free, and after 3 weeks at home, I'm back at work, and I have a ton of TMOS episodes to catch up on. Man, do I love a story like that. Imagine my joy at hearing you have time off coming up, so I'll have some brand new, to me anyway, shows to listen to on the road. I'm a courier, and I drive 150 miles a day. I'll be caught up before you know it. Rick Dreis, rhymes Drace, I should say. Way to go, Rick. Congratulations.
That.
And that's good that they took care of you. Mm-hmm. And I now hold in my hand the final letter.
Hi-oh! Hi-oh!
Hi-oh!
May a herpetic squire wash your limousine with vinegar. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, and all the ships at sea, Robert Hendrickson here. Hey, it's the Robert Hendrickson get-together. How are you? I'm Robert Hendrickson. Of Silver Spring. Oh, the Silver Spring Hendrickson.
Yes, of course. Of them, yes. Mm.
By way of Tempe, Arizona. Yeah, I have no connection with the Tempe Hendricksons, but I do know the Silver Spring Hendricksons.
Mm-hmm. They're the best.
I said goodbye to my douchebag 30s on March 29th. I recall first discovering Mike while listening to Prince's Bat Dance on WAVA during a school field trip in elementary school. What is this?
This is the song you mentioned, Bat Dance. It was in heavy rotation on WAVA, and it's probably Prince's worst record.
Sheer cash grab.
Oh, yeah. When he scored the Batman movie with Michael Keaton.
That was a great soundtrack. I'm sorry. I thought that was a great soundtrack.
I liked it, but I didn't like this song.
Was this was not the first one.
Yeah, this is the Nicholson one.
With Michael Keaton.
This is the Jack Nicholson? Mm. Okay, so this is the Nat Nicholson one. What's the one where they're coming into the square? That was Prince 2, right?
Exactly,
when
and
they
that
had
was a good
giant
song.
Parade. That was a good song.
Party Man, it was called.
Party Man.
Yeah,
okay,
great
that's
record.
A great. If we can find Party Man,
yeah,
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see. Bat Dance. And then seeing Don and Mike's movie recommendation section at the local Blockbuster video store. How aligned were we with Blockbuster? Yep. That makes me feel old. I have remained a loyal listener during my the terrestrial radio days, and then via podcast despite many moves across the country. Can Mayor Barry please offer a recommendation on how to celebrate my milestone birthday. Best Robert. It's simple. I just suggest you get the crack pipe.
No, Mayor.
Yeah, just go out and have a fantastic time. Go to Ward 8 and, then go down to Camelot, see all the fine ladies. And I'm dead. So that's all I wanted to say.
Mayor, yes. I have a song for you might enjoy.
You do?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Let's see if we can bring this up here.
All right, here we go. Is this from Batman?
Yeah.
Let's broaden our minds.
Ah, this is from Batman. This is a great song.
You like it?
Yeah, I like this right now. Let's do that dance right now, everybody. Come on. Everybody coming. This one, he's coming in the square, and Jack Nicholson's acting all coked up himself. Yeah, it's like he did a few lines in that movie as well. This is your Mayor for Life, Mayor Barry. We're running late again, so I got to take a break, and when we come back, we're reading everything on the show today because this is the homepage. Coming up, including poetry, right here on the Michael Barry Show. We'll take it a break and be right back with all sorts of fun and frivolity. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Now it's time to open up the homepage because we're running super late, and I just tanked it. I just tanked it like I've been doing every day on the show this week.
You need the element?
I need the element. Yes, do you have the element?
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
That's awesome. All right. Welcome to the homepage, everybody.
I'll resend it to you this afternoon.
Thank you very much. We're looking at a nationwide ketchup shortage.
No!
Because of the pandemic. Because so many restaurants are now doing more to-go orders. They're going through a ton of those packets. Worst thing ever invented, the packets of ketchup.
Fancy ketchup.
And prices are up 13% in 14 months. We're also buying more bottles of ketchup at home than ever.
Do you know who this really is a problem for? Is Horny Bob Spiewak. He is the biggest ketchup junkie there is, and he will buy a big bottle of ketchup at the grocery store just in case he forgets whether or not he has some at home. I've opened his pantry and seen like 4 quarts of ketchup on the shelf. He panics. Well, he hoards ketchup.
He should go to your place because Costco has the giant ketchup.
He would continue to buy that too. He can't have. Mike,
I'll be right back.
Never ever full of ketchup.
Why does he like ketchup so much?
It's his favorite condiment. It's just something he has to have.
But a backup ketchup, I think, is actually more ubiquitous than all of it. Like, then I think everybody should have it, right?
Yeah, well, also, ketchup is shelf stable, so you don't need to keep it in the fridge, and it lasts, I think, forever. Yeah.
I don't know if 4 makes sense, but buying an extra one just in case, because that's something you easily forget.
Yeah, it is. I like to keep that. And also, mustard. You never want to be out of mustard, Oscar. Condiments are important.
I like mustard, but I'm not as big on a backup mustard.
Well, honest with you, I think the reason we run out of things in America is because of greed. Mm. I think we run out of things because of greed.
Oh my God. Mike is holding up
a 3-pack.
A 3-pack of cartoon-sized ketchup from Costco.
And I appreciate, Mike, that you bought Heinz, which is my favorite. I think you prefer Hunt's, don't you?
It's called Simply. No artificial sweeteners. No artificial. No, it's not for simple-minded people. It's funny how you immediately think simple me. That's like from the 1800s right there.
Oh, hi, Simply. Mr. Denny.
All right, Simply Ketchup. There it
is. Okay, very good. But it's a good thing to have. You don't want to run out of ketchup or mustard.
Yeah, well. So we're buying more of it, and let me see. There were more than $1 billion in ketchup sales in the U.S. That's 15% higher than 2019. So pandemic-related, I think a lot of people are eating ketchup. That's what it is.
Also, overcooked meat.
Overcooked meat or something that really is not that palatable. You throw some ketchup on it, you make it,
There you go.
Eat good. It might be time to stop obsessively sanitizing everything. As we've learned about COVID, we have found that the chances of getting it from a surface are way lower than we originally thought. It's still being done everywhere. You see a lot of sanitizing going on. I sanitize my hands when I'm going into a bus store, when I come back into the car. Got it in the car, use it in the car primarily. The CDC says the chance of catching COVID from a surface are less than 1 in 10,000. And one chemist in Colorado says, quote, if we took half the effort that's being given to disinfection and put it on ventilation, that would be huge.
Really?
Especially with these spikes. Yeah.
Don't discount being, having a clean work environment and also having the foresight to actually clean your hands at every time. Think about how many times you've been sick in a year and in the past year, how many times you haven't been sick.
It's true.
You know, the whole package, Oscar, is not problematic to me. If we go, you know, I intend to continue to sanitize my hands and also probably wear masks in super crowded areas like stores. I don't know if I'm going to do that forever, but I think I might, especially if I'm going out to the grocery store or Walmart or something like that. It seems prudent because, yeah, all the other illnesses that nobody got. Do you think people will process it that way?
I hope they do, Mike.
I really do, too.
The mask wearing, the other thing, there's other benefits. The mask wearing has really re-energized my sex life.
Thank you, Rob's. Rob Spiewagger, here all week. Remember back when TV was a good enough distraction to take your mind off your busy life for a while? Now we need a distraction from our distraction. I love this story.
Okay.
90% of people now say they use their phone or tablet while they're watching TV. Hi, Carla.
Yes.
According to a new survey. And more than a quarter of them are using their phone to text with other people about what they're watching or check out what the other people are saying about the show on social media. Carla lives on her phone, and we'll be watching a riveting film, watching The Keepers on Netflix right now, and we're getting deep into this. It's such a drag. It's so depressing. I'll warn you about that.
You actually messed with my head yesterday because you said you really recommended it, and then you talked about how horrific it was,
and I was horrific, conflicted.
I mean, do I really want to see it?
And it's depressing, and I haven't gotten to the end yet. But anyway, she's sitting over there, you know, with her nose in her phone, and it drives me nuts. I think you ought to give the artwork undivided attention. That's just my opinion.
You know what? I get tempted. If I see something, I will sometimes hit up IMDb while I'm watching the movie to learn about the movie or the cast. That is something that is really, really. That's hard for me to resist.
Yeah, that's fun. I'll do that too. I find myself diving in on a cast member. Yeah. According to a new survey, 42% of Americans say they've written original poetry. That includes 41% of men and 43% of women. The least likely people to write poetry are people who earn less than $40,000 a year. So I guess it has something to do with socioeconomics. Mm-hmm. Only 27% have written any poems, and only 34% of people over 55 say they've written poems, which I find an interesting statistic. And, well, because of that, I've written a lot of poems in my day.
Yes, you have.
A lot of them on this particular show, and I have one for you now.
Oh, good.
If you'd like it.
Please.
Turn down the music, please.
Okay, turn the music off, theme.
Here we are. There once was a young man named Pony, whose fingers were quite long and bony. If he made a mistake, oh, the crap he would take. But at least he's not Rob, who's a phony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There you go. There it is. Yeah, wow.
It's a big win for you, Pony.
Yeah.
Big win
for you. You know what happened? There was a curve at the end there.
Yeah. It was.
A tremendous trick ending.
Love it. Anyway, a guy named Michael, now a little something something, guy named Michael Hack, H-A-A-K, what a horrible name. He was a pilot for Southwest Airlines, and back in August, he was flying from Philadelphia to Orlando when he pulled out his unit in the cockpit, took it right out of his pants.
Wow.
We're not sure why he did it or what he did with himself once his stuff was out, but we do know he's facing charges for committing a lewd act.
Yes.
We also know he doesn't fly for Southwest anymore. He left his job sometime last year, and Southwest says he quit before they found out about the cockpit exposure. They say they're, quote, cooperating with the appropriate outside agencies as they investigate. And it leads me to Southwest Airlines' latest slogan, you are now free to move about the penis. That's all I got. We got to take a break. We'll come back with something. I don't know. So much to go. It's whatever you guys want to talk about. When we come back right here on the Mike O'Bara Show, everybody, you're now free to move about the penis here. But there's slogans you're about to move about the country. And I said, penis. His name was Hack. How about that?
You know, I think we're all handling it rather well, even though the fact that the situation is still in jail.
So sad. Yeah. So sad.
I know. Mm. And there's a new reboot of Jersey Shore somehow on MTV. I don't know. It's like a family reunion thing. Yeah. But I guess the situation can't be there because he's in jail.
Yes.
Well, I think you'll be pleased to know that even though he's in jail, he got visited by Pauly D.
Oh, isn't that nice. Sweet?
Yes. In the clink.
And you wouldn't believe it, but he's actually in the same jail as another celebrity.
Really?
Here's Pauly D to tell us.
He's doing really well. I went there to visit him, and I thought they were going to, like, basically strip search me and stuff like that. It wasn't the case. It was very late.
I'll just stop because I like hearing
it. It's like a section of Stern Show for years where every MF-er that came on Stern Show that was, like, working in that building sounded exactly like this.
Yeah, and so Jimmy said to me that I was being an ass, and then he said I was being an ass.
Yeah, well, what happened about the other one, Robin?
Well, and then he came to me, and then he said this, and we're all from New York. We're all from New York, and we're all successful.
All right, so here with the tape again, here's intern Steve Grillo.
He's doing really well. I went there to visit him, and I thought they were going to, like, basically strip search me and stuff like that. It wasn't the case. It was very laid back. He's happy, positive. He's just so happy to get it over with, and he just wants to come out. He sees Lauren, like, every week. He's almost done.
Did you see that guy, Billy, from the Fyre Festival, who's in the clinker with him?
I did.
And what was that
like? Oh, my God.
It was cool. Like, he was with his family visiting.
He was.
And it was, like, we were visiting Mike. His family was visiting him. I'm like, this is so weird. We're at picnic tables outside.
Wow.
It was weird. There was no bars. You picture jail bars and cells and guys with guns.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they could have took my phone. I had a phone on me, everything.
Right. Wow.
So the cheese sandwich guy. Was there from Fyre Festival.
Just remember, if you're at home, kids, remember what he's saying. Jail's fine.
They're in jail.
It's fine. There's picnic tables.
They're in jail. They're idiots. I swear to God.
You know, my favorite part is he says, there's no bars.
There's no bars or guns or anything. It's great.
It's like, I want to go.
There's no bars.
I want to go. I want to go, Howard.
You're going to end up in jail. So was it like jail? Did they have guns in it?
No, what happened was Billy said to me that Timmy was going to come over there and Jimmy. And Jimmy said that Jimmy couldn't go to Howard's house because...
You can't celebrate jail.
There's no bars?
No bars or guns or anything. New York.
Do you miss it, Mike? Do you miss Florida?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, terribly, Rob.
As you talked this week about the lady that went into the grocery store and licked the ice cream and put it back.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there is a Florida-based phenomenon, and it's called the licking challenge.
Now, in recent weeks, we have seen videos that have gone viral on social media, videos that involve a licking challenge. That's where people will do some things like open up a container of ice cream, lick the top, and then stick it back into the store freezer. Now, when I spoke to the mom tonight, she said she was unaware of any kind of licking challenge, and she swears up and down that what she did was simply just horsing around or just...
Now, you may ask yourself why this 30-year-old woman is under the microscope for the licking challenge. Because she was tired of waiting in the doctor's waiting room with her child, and she was caught letting her child lick tongue depressors and put them back in the jar.
I had just been waiting a long time. I was not thinking. I was just being silly with my kids.
My mouth hit the floor. I was completely surprised and shocked.
They're going to refer it to the state attorney's office to see whether or not charges can be brought against this person for that. It has to be something criminal because it's dealing with the health of individuals.
If I could go back and change it, I definitely would.
She would.
Hey, can I just make a point here?
Yeah.
Okay. For everybody that's wigging out about human saliva, all right, what if they do a little comparison where you walk into a grocery store and you touch something that's been touched by, and then you rub your eyes.
Okay. Exactly.
We're just so stupid. Yeah. It's only because this is getting the hype, and the funniest meme about it was the cow licking the ice cream.
I like that.
Was funny. That one made me laugh out loud. This will pass. This too will pass.
Mike, there was a huge traffic backup in Kansas City when a big truck, an 18-wheeler that was hauling pig refuse, literally pig guts, turned over and blocked.
Well, was it pig poo or pig guts?
It was guts and poo.
Like when they've been slaughtered and stuff.
And it blocked three lanes of traffic. I want to play you the highlight of my favorite brutal. Moment from the interview of the people that were eyewitnesses.
I thought it was horse poop.
Is that the comment?
That's the man on the street interview.
I thought it was horse poop.
Hey, lady. How did you like the Mike O'Mara show today?
I thought it was horse poop.
Oh, no.
She went on to say, Mike, there are no bars.
No bars.
No bars
or anything. And I went in, and then the guy that was also an idiot and got in trouble was dishonest and immoral because he wasn't raised right. He was in here, and it's okay. It's okay, and I saw him. He's doing fine. He's doing fine because that's the most important thing. Not that he didn't pay his taxes because he's an idiot.
I thought it was horse poop.
Don't lick it.
Don't lick it.
Mike, are you familiar, if I will close with this, with the name, if I say Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel?
V-R-A-B-E-L.
Why does it sound familiar?
Because he's famous. He's the coach of the Tennessee Titans.
There you go.
Ah, okay. Yep,
and they asked him if he would, in exchange for, if he could guarantee a Super Bowl victory, would he castrate himself? Here's what he said.
Hold on. Stop.
Yeah.
Where did this question come from?
It was a press conference, a press sit down, and they said.
So some random reporter says, would you cut your balls off if you could
win
a Super Bowl?
Would you trade castration for a Super Bowl victory? Here's what he said.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you, if you came home holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, "Oh, honey, what'd you do?"
She'd be like, I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my off, honey. We're gonna win a Super Bowl. She'd be like, "Eh, all right."
Or would she
be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, "Do you want me to do it? Do you want me to do it now?"
And we asked the wife about it, and she said,
"I thought it was horse poop."
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm a phony, just like you.
It's in the hole.
The mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life and is basically saying we are being visited, something is going on.